Well, I invite you to take out your Bibles. If you don't have a Bible of your own, there's a whole table of Bibles out there. We're going to be going through some of the Psalms today. We're in the final week of a series called I Psalms, looking at how this ancient hymn book can teach us how to pray and how to talk to God and relate to God in various situations in life. And today we're especially looking at this issue of how the scriptures teach us to talk to God in our times of questioning. So, so if you have your Bibles, we're going to be starting in Psalm 6. There'll be some words on the screen. And the other thing that you're going to need throughout this is there's an insert in the bulletins. You'll see like a picture that looks a lot like that picture on the top of that insert. And do take that out just because we're going to be referring to that. If you need a pen or a pencil, maybe stick, or even a Bible, stick your hand up and we'll make certain that one gets to you right away. Okay? Oh, everybody's got one, everybody's prepared, or nobody's willing to put their hand up. One of those. I'm not sure. We'll find out. In most hospitals, off the ER, there's a room. Sometimes called the quiet room or the family room. And having been a pastor, I mean, here in Wenatchee for almost 10 years and been in ministry now for almost 20, I spent a fair amount of time in rooms like that, those quiet hallways off of ERs, those rooms where... If you're just coming into the hospital and you've been asked to come, you know that once you step into that room, it's going to be a very emotionally intense experience. Because it's in those rooms as a family kind of deals with the aftershock of tragedy, the unexpected death, the accident where somebody's life is now just seems like balanced on a razor's edge. And in those rooms, among all the things that are said, is very often this question, why? So why did this happen? And the hard part is oftentimes they're looking at me as if I had an answer to that. Why? Why did she die so soon? I remember meeting with a guy who just had a heart attack and... He was in his early 50s in good health. It just sprung up out of nowhere. Why is this happening to me now? What did I do? The other question that goes along with it, that when I'm having honest conversations with people, and I'm blessed to have those fairly frequently, this question of how long? So I've been applying for jobs for a long time. I've been trying really, really hard. How long? I mean, I've prayed about this. How long? How come it seems like everybody else gets the break and I don't? So how long? How long will our marriage be struggling this hard? Is anything going to change? How long? How long will it be till my depression lifts and I start to feel like I can function again? How long? That addiction I've struggled with, that temptation, that vice, and I prayed that God would take it away again and again and again and again. Well, how long? How long do I keep doing this? How long do I keep praying? Lord, how long? Well, the scriptures in the Psalms, they teach us how to talk to God in those situations. So now hopefully you found Psalm 6. We're going to be reading some through Psalm 6, a little bit in Psalm 10, and spending some time in Psalm 13. My prayer today is that, by getting immersed in God's Word and getting immersed in these ancient songs, really, that it would give language for how to talk to God when you're in those times of questioning and struggle. Why, Lord, does this happen? Why does it feel like you're so distant? And how long? How long? Do I have to wait? How long till things get better? That it'll give us language to be able to relate to God there. So in some ways, I'm kind of hoping you don't need this sermon today. But my sense is probably a whole lot of us do. And my prayer is that God's word would speak to you and to me so that we can relate to God. And that those honest human experiences and honest human questions don't break our relationship with our Heavenly Father. So, anyways, let's look in Psalm 6. Now, many of you at your Bibles, even before we get to the first verse, there's little notes at the top. Well, these are notes that are actually in the original text. Psalm 6, it says, to the director of music with stringed instruments. So, you know, you gotta get your guitar out if you're going to do this song or whatever stringed instrument you've got. Then it says, a psalm of, now he's got their Bibles in front of him, a psalm of who? David. It's a psalm of David. So David wrote this song, or the song was written about one of David's experiences. Now, David was a character in the Old Testament. He was one of the best kings of Israel, and he was known as a man after God's own heart. So this is a man who is a worshiper, a man who has got a vibrant and healthy relationship with God. And I want you to just kind of keep that in your mind as we go through this psalm, okay? You know, this is written by a person that God himself says, this is a good worshiper. This is a man after my own heart. Okay, let's start tracking. Okay, verse 1. Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger or discipline me in your wrath. So what's this person feeling? What are they feeling? They're feeling some guilt, maybe. They feel like they're being disciplined. They feel like there's God's wrath is on them in some way. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I am faint. Heal me, Lord, for my bones are in agony. Verse 3, my soul is in deep anguish. How long, Lord? How long? I feel terrible. I feel distant from you. I feel like you're punishing me, Lord. How long? How long is that going to go on? In verse 4, turn, Lord, and deliver me. Save me because of your unfailing, what's the word? Love. Your unfailing love. Now, throughout this series, one of the things we've been seeing in the Psalms is, you know, you have these honest expressions to God. God, this is exactly how I'm feeling. This is what's going on inside of me. And then you have that side by side with this view from a larger context, this sense of, okay, this is what I'm experiencing, but this is also what I know to be true. I'm feeling like I'm distant from you. I'm feeling like you're punishing me, but I'm asking you to save me because I know that your love is what? Unfailing. I'm feeling lousy. I'm feeling distant from you, and yet I also know that your love is unfailing. One of the reasons why I long for you and for me to have a deep love for the Word of God and that you would be in God's Word on a daily or a near daily basis is because when we immerse ourselves in the Scriptures, it gives us a perspective on life that it's not just about my experience of God in my own little world. I get to see a truth about who God is from a much larger context, from God's work over thousands of years you're talking the writers, I mean, in dozens of people, affecting millions of people. I get to see truth about who God is from a bigger window than just this little tiny one of my own life. So that's where I long for you and for me to be in Scriptures on a regular basis. I cannot read your Bible for you. You've got to be there yourself. And it's especially true so that in those difficult times, you're able to go, I feel lousy. God, I feel like you are distant. And yet I know that you are loving. Because sometimes God does not feel good. So we have to trust on what we know. This is what I feel. I'm honest, and this is also what I know, and it helps the two to balance together. Okay, I'll go a little bit faster, okay? Save me because of your unfailing love. Verse 5, among the dead, no one proclaims your name. Who praises you from the grave? I am worn out from my groaning. All night long, I flood my bed with weeping and drench my couch with tears. My eyes grow weak from sorrow. They fail because of my foes. And let me just read verse 6 again, okay? I am worn out from my groaning. All night long, I flood my bed with weeping and drench my couch with tears. Let me see your eyes for just a second, okay? Just for a second. This is one thing I hope that we hear really clearly today. Sadness is not a sin. Depression is not a sin. It's something that human beings go through as a result of our situations, our stresses, sometimes our physiology. But this hero of faith, the David who wrote this psalm, or the psalm was written about him, he was going through an extraordinarily dark time. I mean, some of you can relate. You've had seasons where I am worn out from my groaning. All night long, I flood my bed with weeping and drench my couch with tears. Some of us, you just go, God, some days, just help me to get out of bed. I am worn out. And for whatever is happening emotionally, it just feels like there's nothing good going on in the world. And you need to hear that a man after God's own heart, whose words God saw fit to be preserved for more than 3,000 years so that you and I could read it, went through that level of sadness and depression. One of the things the devil will try to tell you if you've gone through those things, and I realize, you know, I haven't gone through, like, depression in my life. I haven't. So some of this you might go, ah, Pastor, that's nice. You're just talking. But one of the things the devil tends to do in our times of weakness is he says, you're the only one. You're the only one that's felt this way. Nobody would understand how you're feeling. And man, if you told anybody, what you're going through and how crappy you feel, they're going to be looking down on you. But that is not the perspective of Scripture. That's not the perspective of Scripture. Men and women of faith go through sometimes very dark emotional situations. And it is not a sin. It's a journey. But it is not a sin. Okay. All right. Just keep reading. But for somebody here today, that might have been the main thing you came to church to hear. That might have been it. So then, verse 8. Away from me, all you who do evil, for the Lord has heard my weeping. The Lord has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord accepts my prayer. Now, has he felt any of this yet? Probably not. He's still sitting on a wet couch. But he starts to be able to express hope because he's grounding himself in a truth that is bigger than his own experience. I feel lousy. I am depressed or sad or something. But I know, regardless of how I feel, I know the Lord has heard my weeping. I know the Lord has heard my cry. I know that the Lord accepts my prayer. I know. There's a difference between what we feel and what we know sometimes. All my enemies will be overwhelmed with shame and anguish. They will turn back and suddenly be put to shame. Starts to express hope again. It's going to get better. It's going to get better. Let's turn to Psalm 10, verse 1. Just because the language of it is so, I think, is so helpful. Psalm 10, verse 1. Why, Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? That's that why question again, right? Lord, why is this happening? Why do I feel so distant? Why does it feel like you are a long way away from me? Why? Turn the page one more, and we're going to just work through Psalm 13. Here's a whole psalm of how long. If nothing else, like maybe if walking away from church today, you go, you know, when I'm having a bad day, and I need to really have some good language to tell God off, God says, right here. Here's how you do it. Here are songs of faith by faithful people expressing their hearts to God. When I'm going through a tough time, I often don't have words for myself. So I can lean on. I mean, or oftentimes if I'm meeting with somebody, you know, it's so bizarre being a pastor sometimes because, you know, there's the whys and you hear the how longs. And I don't know. I mean, a lot of the questions in life, there are no answers for them on this side of eternity. And if you start reading the scriptures and read like things like the book of Job, you realize that the best thing you can do for somebody when they're suffering is just button it and just be with them. If you read the book of Job, and I hope you do, you know that Job's going through this terrible experience. He has all these friends that show up and they sit with him and then they start talking. And everything they're saying, the Lord eventually, you know, reveals it's all lies. When we try to explain what the Almighty does, especially for somebody else, boy, oh boy, do we have to be careful. But what we can do is say, I don't know why, but you need to know that you're not alone. You need to know that God invites these kind of questions. Sometimes He answers you. Sometimes with time there is a sense of purpose and meaning behind it. But until then, you can just ask the questions, and it's okay. So my hope is that, you know, you nothing else, you kind of store some stuff away, and you go, okay, on that day, I can turn to Psalm 13, and I can pray these prayers. How long, Lord? How long will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts? And day after day have sorrow in my heart. How long will my enemy triumph over me? Sounds like the prayer of a man that is going through a real dark season of sadness. How long? Verse 3, look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall, verse 5, but I trust in your, what's that phrase? Unfailing love. I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praises, for he has been good to me. Lord, I'm telling you exactly how I feel. I'm laying my concerns out before you. I'm saying, I need you to help. How long do I have to wait? Feels like I'm here all by myself. Where the heck are you? And yet, I know. Somehow underneath all this garbage that I'm experiencing, somehow under there you're good. And then if I could only see things from a bigger perspective, which I can't, but if I could, and if I saw it like you saw it, ultimately I'd be able to say, Lord, yes, you are good. So let's see if we can apply this to our own life. A little prayer exercise. Here's where you bring out that insert. And I invite you to just take a minute or two and jot down some things. I'm not going to make you share this with anyone, because if you're really being honest with God here, it's going to be kind of personal and pretty raw. So I understand, like, even though I'm going to, like, urge you and maybe, you know, like, cajole you just a touch to, like, get your pens out and do something, you know, if you don't write something down, I'm going to understand, too. if nothing else, let's walk through this, okay? Lord, why did? What are some of your questions? What are some of your whys? Lord, why did my dad leave? Lord, why did my baby die? Lord, why did I lose my job? Lord, why can't I feel you near me? Lord, why can't I win the heart of my kids? Just write some stuff down. If you could ask God one big question, what might that be? So, Lord, why? And then, Lord, how long will? Lord, how long will this season in life last? Lord, how long will I be in pain all the time? Lord, how long will I feel so depressed? Lord, how long will I have to go through this? Lord, how long will it be till I finally get that job? Finally feel like I've got a real break in life. Lord, how long? And just to write a few things down. Or think a few things down. And yet, Lord, I trust in your. And let's think about some things we could write there too. Lord, this is my experience. This is what my own little world is like. It's very real. It's very raw. But I also recognize that I don't see everything. I don't know everything. I don't have the bigger picture or bigger perspective as much as I long for it. And so, Lord, from your scriptures, I know these things to be true about you. And so I trust in your. So what? Let's talk out loud here. We're just all friends. So what might you write down there? Lord, I trust in your. What's some things you might write down? I trust in your mercy. Yes. Yeah, I trust in your mercy. What else? Your promise. I trust in your promise that you have good plans for me. I trust in your grace. That's a terrific answer. I trust in your forgiveness. I trust in your sovereignty. In your blood? In loyalty. I trust in your loyalty. In wisdom. Now, for me, when I'm having to reboot my faith, you know, it feels like everything's crashed. I've just had the blue screen of death on my heart. You know, I need to go, okay, do I really believe this stuff or not? I have to go right back to the cross. There's a whole lot of things I don't understand, a whole lot of stuff that goes on in life that makes no sense to me at all. And yet, 2,000 years ago, in a graveside outside of Jerusalem, something happened. And the people that witnessed that event were so changed by it that rather than deny what they could not deny what they saw. And so most of them were put to death as a result. And those people, those disciples, those who are witnesses to what the Bible says is the resurrection, the Son of God crucified and then risen from the dead, they went on to change the world. And every part of Western history has been shaped by their influence because of what they saw. And so, Lord, I trust in, one of the things I write down when I'm really struggling, Lord, I trust in your resurrection. I trust that there's something real at the bedrock of the things I believe. What would you write down? Lord, I trust in your. That's right. That's right. So let's take these things to the Lord in prayer, and let this prayer exercise. My hope is that as we pray these things, all of those things, the whys, the how longs, and then we ground it in something deeper, that'd be just a tremendously healing thing. God is not afraid of your emotion. God is not afraid of your pain. He's given you a guidebook to say, here's how to let me have it. And here's how to let me have it. He can carry it. He really can. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word that teaches us how to pray, that teaches us how to worship, that helps us to maintain a relationship with you, even when we feel very distant from you. And when the world, from our perspective, looks like it's cascading out of control, and we find ourselves just wrestling with the massive whys of life, the honest, gut-wrenching how longs of life. So right now, Lord, we want to lift some of those up to you, just silently. So Lord, why did? And Lord, how long will? And yet, Lord, I and we trust in your. And congregation, let's just start lifting some of those things up out loud. I trust in your. Yes. I trust in your. Yes. I trust in your. I trust in your. Yes. I trust in your. Yes, Lord. I trust in your. Yes. I trust in your. Yes. Lord, I trust in your. Amen. Lord, thank you. Thanks that we can come to you with all this stuff. Thanks that you can carry it. In Jesus' name, amen.